We're excited to announce the launch of Mojo for Work, a product designed specifically for teams and organizations who want to go on the journey to find their mojo at work. Last week, we hosted a live webinar where we discussed the challenges faced in the workplace in 2023 and shared strategies to overcome them in 2024. The cost of entry was a really good question, and we received over 500 of them. So here's a few that we answered on the day. So as a special treat, we present to you the Thank God You Asked That Mojo for Work edition.
And first off the list is, working from home has changed the workplace landscape. How do we embrace flexibility of this new way of working and maintain a positive workplace culture?
Gotcha. I knew a working from home question would come into this because, I mean, obviously the Industrial Revolution created this arbitrary 40 hours, you know, 5 days a week in the office kind of thing. And COVID has just thrown it on its head, right? And in some cases gone the other way as well. For me, it's not so much where they're working, but rather how and why they're working in terms of how to motivate your people to get the best, you know, productivity and performance, but also enjoyment, right? And that's why I'd say I'd play around with the model and be open-minded, right? Be vulnerable, right? And see what is the right thing, to listen to our people, because connection's the key, right? And a 25-year-old versus a 45 have different issues and different needs. So when you listen to your people and you apply play, purpose, and potential to, you know, the environment, to see what's the best way to give purpose and meaning so people can see the, you know, the impact of their work, they can still have an environment of learning and growth, yeah, and they still get to experiment and be curious. So what's the best way to do that? In my opinion, trust and common sense are the two most important pillars. Yeah, we need to trust our people from a, you know, productivity performance point of view, and they need to trust us as well, right? And then common sense, if there's a need to get together, if you're a sporting team, right, it's pretty obvious common sense, whereas you need to be together to train, right? So it's similar in the workforce. But again, this was some incredible research coming out from CultureAmp the other day about kind of separating, you know, why people come to work versus why they are at home. And I love this term, to create these kind of commute worthy connections. So if you are having people in groups, right, is it for lunches? Is it for catch ups? Is it for group learnings? You know, as you know, we've like pivoted our product range to have group based learnings, whether it's live or, you know, virtually. So you almost create this FOMO effect that people want to come to work because of the incredible connection that you get. And by the way, the number one ingredient for creating connection is eye contact. This has been proven through an MIT study, which literally surveyed the most successful teams in the world. They called it belonging cues, right? So from obviously, you know, human connection is something that's pretty important to us. So if we are, it's not a carrot and stick. You've got to work in the office, you know, X amount of days. Use the time meaningfully, whether it's for learning and growth or problem solving or playing, yeah? So I reckon that's probably the simplest approach I can give, high level, from a get that balance right from a flexibility point of view.
Brilliant. I love that. Thank you. Second question, what's your go-to advice? This has applied to me a number of times, I must say. What's your go-to advice for maintaining composure, especially in the event of a setback? For example, a consultant delivering a big presentation who hits a hurdle. And I've hit many a hurdle, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Out of interest, what are your A-game words that you use for today's session in real time?
Yeah, so my five words are preparation, curiosity or curious, mm-hmm. calm, composed, and strong.
Got it. Well, getting back to that question for maintaining composure, yeah, the first thing I would do is find words which represent who you are at your best. Right, in our performance confidence, as you know, we have an exercise where you literally develop your A game. And it's the exact same exercise that any of our teams or well-known athletes around the world use to stay composed in the moment, right? Because if you remind yourself to be calm or composed, it's physically, medically, scientifically impossible to be anxious at the same time, yeah? But the opposite is also true, right? Now, once you've got your A game words, calm, strong, focused, clear, and we're all different, by remembering a time when we were completely, you know, in the zone and feeling unstoppable. The second step is to create a mantra to remind you that you've done the work or I've got this. Yeah, mantras are incredibly powerful. To also cut yourself some slack as well. The second thing I'd say was to this person is acceptance. Accept you're imperfect, right? Self-compassion is a really important part of performance mindset, right? You're a good person and you're doing the best job you can. And I think we forget that in performances because we attach our self-worth, right? So self-compassion, acceptance, creating an A game, creating a mantra is really, really important. But there's also different forms of compassion. We talk about compassion in all our masterclasses and in all our leadership work because I think we've forgotten how powerful compassion is. Not just self-compassion though, there's compassion of curiosity, which is literally just tapping at, you know, everything exists for a reason and that reason matters. Or the second one is the compassion of recognition, right? It's just recognizing and appreciating that we're all in this together. We're all imperfect. We're all just winging it, so to speak. There's the compassion of truth, which is really just acknowledging that life is difficult. And once you accept that life is difficult, life is no longer difficult, right? The power's in the acceptance and the compassion there. And the last one is the compassion of possibility. That's my favorite one, I guess, is how can we find the good in this? How can we learn from this? It's not what happens to us, it's how we respond to what happens to us. So again, bringing more compassion into that situation with that setback that that consultant had is so important. So be kinder and gentler.
Awesome, thank you. Third question, how do I support others to flip their mindset when they get caught up in I'm not enough or we don't have enough?
Okay, so the two universal not enoughness stories or shame stories every human has is I'm not good enough and I'm not loved enough. Our self-confidence workshop literally deals with the not loved enough. And our performance confidence workshop literally deals with the not good enough. Yeah, they're the two universal ones and they're the two ways that we go about it. It's unfortunately, we all have this negative reptilian brain with a negative bias. That's like Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive, right? So in all situations in the workforce, unfortunately, we have these times where we tell ourselves, I can't do this. You know, what if I fail? You know, what if I look like an idiot, you know, what if I'm wrong kind of thing. And this is where we have this exercise called sneaky beliefs. And we use the what if question again, right? So your bad wolf is always going to say, or you know, inner critic, what if I'm wrong? What if I can't do this? What if I fail? Flip it, right? What would your good wolf say? What if I'm wrong? What if I can do this, right? What if it all works out? And then what you do is you literally, once you work out what your good wolf or good friend would say to you, right, you then look for the data. You look for the empirical evidence to prove that you've actually done this before. Right? And you've been pretty successful about this as well, right? So once you learn to flip it, you flip those sneaky beliefs with what if I'm wrong to what if I can do this, yeah? And what if it all works out? So, and that what if exercise, as you know, is one of our play exercises in Playing to Win workshop.
Yeah. Amazing. I think there's probably everyone on the call who can empathize with a lot of that. And having done it recently, it's been phenomenal. So thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, our life story is not our life. It's just our story. And we are the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. So if we don't learn to identify these moments when fear kicks in and we tell ourselves a different story, right, our inner critic will kind of take over. Yeah, so it's so important. That's what effectively agency and self-determination means, to own your story in these situations and you take back control. Yeah.
Awesome. Question four. I lead a very large team, and with such a large team, there are always multiple people that I'm supporting or managing, whether it be work-related or personal. Without giving less to others, how can I give more to myself?
I reckon this person might be a nurse or a teacher or... you know, certain industries, categories, well, the human element, right? Our greatest strength becomes our greatest weakness because we care so much about others, but it's the detriment of our own health, you know, the detriment of our own well-being. The formula that we often tell people is to find yourself and then lose yourself and find someone else to love. Yeah. So it's basically about the greatest form of leadership is self-leadership. The greatest form of compassion is self-compassion. Acceptance, self-compassion, love is self-love. So we need to do the work on ourselves first, right? Before we lead others, we need to go internal and be kinder to ourselves and find that energy source And if we don't, what happens is we go external, right? And kind of hopefully work out what we want to the substitute of who we are. We don't give that kindness and compassion to ourselves. And if we just go external and care about others, two things happen, right? Often we just burn out, yeah? Or we constantly are holding ourselves back in life or love or relationships with that imposter syndrome, because that not enoughness story, oh, I'm not worthy of this, or we feel guilty, right? Or sometimes we go extrinsically motivated, right? Thinking that if I have that or do that or achieve that, then I'll be worthy or then I'll be enough. So yeah, it's unfortunately we see self-development work as kind of selfish, and this word self, which I think has been so misused, but it's so important to give that energy source to yourself first. You've got to put that oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it onto someone else. I'd say it's almost impossible to be a good parent or a good leader or just good human if we're not giving ourselves that energy source first. Yeah.
So true. This is one from me, not from the audience, and it'll be our last one before we start to wrap up. What is the one change that attendees can make today to their lives that you think will have the biggest impact?
Okay. And this is probably one of the biggest ahas that we're seeing in especially the Playing to Win workshop, but also just in my work with CEOs and mentoring them. Redefining what success is and redefining what a win is. Yeah. And I mentioned this publicly recently in Mojo Espresso that every human on the planet on this call is literally living their life in one of two ways, either in the gap, right, where they're here, but you want to be there in the future. And there's this gap to where you want to get to in the future. And that gap means that you'll never get there, right? Because the goalposts just keep changing. Yeah. And it also creates this pressure, right? And this cortisol, because, you know, I want to be there. I need that promotion to be validated. I need to get that amount of money or, you know, to be in that relationship. And then I'll be enough, right? Unfortunately, and because there's so much uncertainty in the world today, right? We're all getting so distracted attaching our self-worth to a future event which we can't control. Right? You wonder why we're so much pressure and so much stress and so much expectation. But there is such a better way to measure your life, measure success, work out what a win is. And that's to measure backwards from where you first started, yeah, and remember and measure all the wins, all the gains, all the successes you've had from where you're measuring to where you are now. And if you do that in real time, right, you are successful because you're remembering all these successes. You still have goals and dreams that you want to chase down. Absolutely beautiful big goals and dreams. And you chase them down as hard as you can. That's just called living. But they're now wants, not needs, right? If you live in the gap, you need this relationship for validation or success or, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. But if you measure backwards to the present moment, if I asked you to do this exercise, right, and you measured all these amazing wins you had in your relationships with your wife and your kids and your friends, and then professionally, you measured all these wins that you've had in terms of career. And then I asked her, how are you feeling right now? You'd probably say grateful. You may say successful. You'll probably say happy. There's a good chance you'll say feeling confident because you're remembering the run. And you might even just say, I feel content, right? And I would say that's success, right? So the way to redefine success for people to your question is get out of the gap, because most of us, we're in the gap. We say, oh no, I'll be successful when, and then they put out these things in the future. Flip it to say, I know I'm being successful when, right? And I will put you on the spot. If I said, you know, for you, Daniel, you know, you're being successful when, you'll probably say having a belly laugh with my kids, right? Or a really beautiful conversation with my wife. Or it might be a beautiful sunset, right? Or professionally, it might be getting out of my comfort zone like you're doing right now on this call, right? Or it might be learning and growing, yeah? Or it might be just accepting the things you can't control, or accepting, you know, you don't care what people think about you, but you care about them. When you start to redefine success in this way, especially from an intrinsic motivation point of view, you don't have to wait to be successful anymore. You don't have to wait to be happy or confident or content. You can literally do that right now. And I kid you not, the amount of ahas people are having that have spent their whole life living in this gap, thinking they're comparing themselves to others. Because here's the thing, life is a single person game. You know, I say we've got to start playing a different game, right? It's a single person game. tennis is a two-person game, but life is a single-person game. If you make it a two-person game, you're going to be comparing yourself and judging yourself, right? And focusing on these things you can't control. Self-determination, literally by definition, means Daniel determines what he wants and who he wants to be and what he wants to go after for him, right? And I think, unfortunately, because of extrinsic motivations, comparing ourselves, you know, perfectionism, social media, comparison side of things, we've got out of our lane, right? And I think it's really important to get back in our lane. And in order to redefine what a win is, the simplest way to do this and measure backwards is tonight, anyone on this call, and by the way, the most important hour of the day is the last hour of the day. Unfortunately, most of us spend time on our phones, right? Scrolling, rah, rah, rah. So the last hour of the day, tonight when you, before you go to bed, get off your phone, or you might want need to go on your phone to do this exercise, right? But just identify three wins that you had today. Right? And a win doesn't have to be a win in tennis. Again, it could be a sunset. It could be a beautiful meeting or a conversation, or whatever it is. It could be just what you had for dinner. It could have been, I got all the green lights on the way to the office, right? You define, you decide, you determine what a win is, yeah? And also what three wins you want to have tomorrow. Now, the neuroscience on this is hilarious, right? Two things happen. One is you sleep better because you're going to bed grateful because you're remembering all these wins, yeah? And even crazier, overnight, your brain is kind of converting around these three wins that you want to have tomorrow. And you kind of, a lot of people wake up excited, right? Mm-hmm. But also their brain's going crazy in terms of adaptive kind of measures, more kind of creative and playful and experimental. Now, if you do that exercise for 7 days, that's 21 wins that you didn't have previously because you're remembering all these gains. What you're doing is you're training your brain to measure backwards and remember those in the present moment, right? Rather than this future state, which we'll just never get to, right? This pursuit of happiness, this pursuit of success or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be that way. And I guarantee you, those who are redefining success from an intrinsic point of view, measuring backwards, are taking back more control, are taking back more agency. It doesn't guarantee you win, right, in an extrinsic sense, but it does guarantee you're authentic, yeah? And in my opinion, there's only two needs for any human. That's the need for attachment, the need for authenticity, yeah? Because if you've got that need for attachment that you're worthy of love or belonging or connection or attachment, the core value there you've got is love. You've got so much love in your life for yourself and for others, right? And if you've got that need for authenticity ticked, you've got the courage to live a life true to you, yeah, the courage to be me and go after my dreams and goals regardless of what anyone else thinks. And unfortunately today, getting back to pressure, and we've spoken about with economic and emotional pressure that creates these expectations unnecessarily, the number one deathbed regret, I kid you not, on the planet is, I wish I lived a life true to me. I wish I had the courage to be me rather than the expectations of others. Yeah. So there's that word again. So redefining our relationship with expectations, redefining our relationship with controllables and uncontrollables, understanding what element of confidence we're looking for, whether it's self-confidence, leadership confidence, or performance confidence, and then learning to replace fear with play, pressure with freedom, and I guess, you know, expectation with experimentation is the journey we're all on. Unfortunately, there's no such thing as human being school where you can kind of learn these things. And I think we've just got so distracted as a human race today.
Thanks for listening to this Thank God You Asked That Mojo for Work edition. If you're interested in finding out more about what Mojo for Work could look like within your organization, find out more at mojopro.com.